You know, there's a question that's often asked that we hear even in the church. It's why does bad things happen to good people? Along with that, we often hear as well, I am having a bad day. Those are the two things that I want to look at this morning. One other thing that you hardly ever hear is why does good things happen to bad people? And this lesson hopefully will give us some insight to the answer of these questions. From the mind of God into human language, we call it the Word of God, the Bible, from beginning to end, is about God's plan to save human beings through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The basic gist of the Old Testament message is the Messiah is coming. And when translated into the Greek language, the word Messiah becomes Christ. John 1 at verse 41. You know, why did this happen? Why did God have to use His message, His mind, to put it in human language? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so God's love was such that He had to transform, He had to transfer His mind into a human language so that we may be able to follow Him and that we may be able to obtain the blessings which He has for us. The Bible declares that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. The reference here with the word all refers to the Old Testament as well to the context of the New Testament. Timothy had known these scriptures from his very childhood, as we read in that same book in chapter 3 at verse 15. So how did God transfer His mind into the human language? Well, the Bible answers that for us too, doesn't it? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so God put His mind into the minds of the Holy Spirit, which transferred that to holy men, that we may be able to receive His mind in the human language. That scripture is found in 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and verse 21. In the Old Testament, during the exit from Egypt, when the children of Israel faced a scenario where it looked like they lacked food, they complained, Exodus 16. And then when they faced a situation where they had no water, they griped again, Exodus 17. And when they lost people whom they loved, they grumbled once more, Numbers 16. There's a reoccurring pattern here for Israel in the wilderness. To face a situation that involved unpleasant matters, to be unhappy about it, even disgusted about it, and express their unhappiness by complaining to Jehovah God. We look at the Israelites and shake our head. Why were God's people not grateful for what they had? Why could they never learn to be content? Why could they not grow up and discard their childish pouting and self-pity? What was wrong with these people? And then for us, one day, we look in the mirror and it hits home, doesn't it? And we see at least sometimes, and for some of us, perhaps we do it frequently, perhaps we do not do it at all, but we fall into the trap of thinking and talking like the Israelites did while they were in the wilderness. Lack of gratitude, lack of satisfaction, and a whole lot of self-pity. Things happen in life which are not pleasant. Things happen to our clothes, our bodies, our living places, our finances, our vehicles, our relationships, our jobs, etc., etc., etc. And when they happen, they upset us. In some cases, they really upset us. And in some instances, we remain so upset that whatever it is that has us upset dominates our very thoughts. We cannot let it go. And we are sometimes miserable. And when we are miserable, we have the tendency to broadcast our misery to others, often with a tone of complaining, as we proclaim to anyone who will listen, "I am having a bad day." I want to call to your remembrance some examples of those in the Bible that truly had bad days. Overcast skies and clouds and rain are part of the real world. They make the majority of us long for nicer weather with sunny skies. But you do realize, though, that there are some people who never see a rainy day. There are people who never see a sunny day either. There are people that never see anything with their physical eyes. Do you know why? Because they are blind. And you read Matthew 9:30, where Jesus healed two blind men. And we say, "I'm having a bad day." And when he was 17, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and he was transported against his will to a foreign country in Genesis chapter 37. And when his father Jacob saw Joseph's bloody garments, he concluded that his son was dead, and he mourned for his son. He did not get to see him again for 22 years. Just how bad is our day going? How rough has it been on us to separate from our families for a short period of time during this pandemic that's going on? Job lost all 10 of his children in a single day. Job 1, verses 18 and 19. Is that the kind of bad day that we're having? A son of David, Amnon, raped a daughter of David, Tamar, and as a result, another son of David, Absalom, killed Amnon. Did you say that your family is facing some internal challenges? The armies of a foreign nation, Babylon, whose language Daniel did not understand, carted him off to prison to be a prisoner in their land in Daniel 1, and he was there for 70 plus years. Stephen was stoned to death because he preached the truth about sin and about Jesus in Acts at verse 7. How did you say your day was going? The Apostle John either witnessed or was informed about the murder of his brother James at the hands of King Herod in Acts 12. Paul was cast into prison on numerous occasions, though he did not commit any crime. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and following. Read that passage, if you will, to get a full understanding of Paul's perils. More than once, as a matter of fact, at least five times, Paul was beaten with 39 stripes or lashes. Did you know that all of the apostles except one died a horrible death, as did John the Baptist? How did you say your day was going? Circumstances we face in life and the pain that we experience is real. And when our body is being attacked by disease, It's not fun. When our relationships, our finances are struggling, it is indeed painful. And yes, people are hurting in a number of ways. We live in a world of pain and suffering because of sin. That sin having been committed in the long ago in the Garden of Eden. There is no one that's not affected by the harsh realities of life. And the question is, why do bad things happen to good people? It's one of the most difficult questions that ever has to be asked or answered in all of theology. God is sovereign. And so all that was about to happen must have been known by him, if not directly allowed to happen for other reasons. At the offset, we must acknowledge that human beings who are not eternal, or infinite, or all-knowing, cannot expect immunity from bad things. God causes it to rain on both the just and the unjust. God has good things and bad things happen to both the just and the unjust. And if God had not allowed all people to have the same things happen to them, set aside or put under an umbrella his people, how many would only be God's people for personal gains? How many would truly serve the God of heaven? The book of Job tells us that he was a good, righteous man, and yet he suffered in ways that we cannot even comprehend. What was his reaction? Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him, Job 13:15. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. May the name of the Lord be praised, Job 1, verse 21. Job did not understand why God had allowed things to happen to him as they did, but he knew God was good and therefore continued to trust him. And ultimately, we should also trust in God. Why do bad things happen to good people? As hard it is to acknowledge, we must remember that there are no good people in the absolute sense of the word. All of us are tainted by and affected by sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20 and Romans 3:23 and other places. Jesus said no one is good except God alone. Paraphrasing Luke 18:19. All of us feel the effects of sin in one way or the other. Sometimes it's our own sin. Sometimes it is sin of others. Sometimes it is the sin of our very family. We live in a fallen world, and we experience the effects of the fall. And one of those effects is injustice. Another one is seemingly senseless suffering. And when wondering why God would allow bad things to happen to good people, it's also good to consider some things that we need to have in our hearts and our minds. Bad things happen to good people, but God uses those bad things for an ultimate, lasting good. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. And when Joseph, innocent of any wrongdoing, finally came through his horrific sufferings, he was able to see God's good plan in all of the things that were happening. Secondly, bad things happen to good people, but those bad things equipped believers for a deeper and better ministry. Praise be to the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, we also our comfort abounds through Christ. Paraphrasing 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 5. Folks, those of us who have battle scars, can better help those going through those same battles. Bad things happen to good people, and the worst things happen to the very best person ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the only true and righteous one, yet he suffered more than we even can imagine. We follow in his footsteps. If you suffer for doing good and you do it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to God, who judges righteously. 1 Peter 2:20 and through verse 23. Jesus is no stranger to pain. He is no stranger to our pain. Even as he hung there on the cross, as he was nailed to that old tree, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23, verse 34. Bad things happen to good people in this world, but this world is not the end. Christians have an eternal perspective. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4. Romans 5:8 declares, "But God demonstrated his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Despite the sinful nature of people of this world, God still loves us. And Jesus loved us enough to die to take away the penalty of our sins. God allows things to happen for a reason. And whether or not we understand his reasons, we must remember that God is good, God is just, God is loving, and God is merciful. Often bad things happen to us that we simply cannot understand. But instead of doubting God's goodness, our reaction should be to trust in him in all things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will lead your paths. And we walk by faith, folks, not by sight. As Christians, there is a reason to have a positive outlook. We rejoice in the Lord because of our salvation, Philippians 4:4. We have the hope of an eternal inheritance in heaven where we will be no more bad days. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 3 through 9. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, the trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the very salvation of your soul." May we learn to be content in our material blessings And may we learn not to be complainers. Today, just like every other day, God is good, and how I respond to today's happenings depends on me, because God does not pick on us individually. We are all treated and have the same blessings available to us if we will accept those blessings. The Bible tells us how to overcome sin, even. It is in Christ, it is through Christ, and it is by Christ. And only in Him can we find peace. It's through our obedience to Him that we may live eternally in heaven with God and with Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the redeemed saints of all times, many of which we personally knew on this earth. In heaven, a place of joy, a place of peace, a place of love, where there is no more pain, no more suffering, no tears, and no sin. A place where we will never see our loved ones suffer and die. A place of eternal praise to the God of heaven, who loved us so much that He was willing to send His only Son to suffer in our place. And even while we were yet sinners, without hope, and destined for a devil's hell. What a sacrifice. What a love. And what a blessing. And that love and blessing rings out even today, just like it did 2,000 years ago. The love of God, the sacrifice of Christ, it is our passageway to heaven. Through Christ, the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. Many passages are recorded in the scriptures where Jesus is urging, even begging us to follow Him. In Luke 9:23, He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In John 8:24, Jesus says, "If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. And as we sing the song that has been chosen, there may be one or more of us in this audience that recognizes that some changes need to be made in our lives. Maybe you have understood for some time the gospel plan. That is, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. But you have hesitated to do anything about it. You just keep putting it off. Folks, all of us need to walk down that aisle one day, just as our dear sister Novalee did about 3 weeks ago. We all are in need of a Savior. Jesus says, "Come,